In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Welcome to a new episode of A Psychic Story. And for this episode, we have Pat Longo. She's amazing. She is a spiritualist, a healer. She's written books. And so really what we wanted to talk about in this episode is anxiety and what that means in a spiritual community. And if you're experiencing it or others around you are, what you can do to help alleviate that and understand it a little bit better, because it is a message for us to receive. So really excited to have you on the show, Pat. Welcome.
I am very excited to be here. And thank you so much for inviting me. It's going to be fun. Listen, I could talk for hours and hours, so we're going to tighten it up
yes.
and get it in as possible in the time frame allotted. So fire away.
Awesome. Of course. Well, first of all, I would love to hear your story and what got you to where you are, you know, why are you here today and what brought you on this path and journey?
Okay. Well, it's an interesting one. In the 90s, I want to say somewhere around 1994, my mom was diagnosed with inoperable breast and bone cancer. And I, who loved psychics, had gone to psychics probably from the time I was 25 years old on. And people were ever pegging me for a healer, a nurse, a doctor. They kept seeing the medical sign around me, but I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. And when my mom got diagnosed, a psychic, I had an appointment with someone for like 6 months, and I had walked into his office and he said, "You're worried about a woman above you and a male below you," which I was concerned about my son at the time with a relationship. And he picked everything up, where the cancer was, in the breast, in the bones, in the pelvis, the skull, the ribs. And then he hands me a card for a healer. And he said, "This woman has had some success with healing." So I said, "What does she have to lose?" The prognosis was very grim based on what the oncologist had said. They couldn't operate. It had gone too far. So I went to my mom. I asked if she trusted me. I called this woman. She seemed lovely on the phone. You know, you have to check people out. People check me out now. Like I have, you know, I always say that in my book too. I said, like, I have horns, a tail, and I wave dead chickens.
Oh, funny.
People don't know what a healer is.
Right.
And I didn't know either until that day. My mother was 69 at the time of her diagnosis.
So still very young.
Yes, and she lived till she was 84. She went into her own form of remission and just floored her doctors. You know, she was not a chemotherapy candidate as far as hardcore, because her white counts would drop, and she was on something called tamoxifen for a while. But everything just stopped in its tracks. And my mom lived a very healthy life. She didn't have any pain, any more discomfort. She took care of my dad till his passing. And he was 86. She was 84. And it was great. But it sent me on a journey. Now I needed to know more about this healer business.
And you were what age again? Remind me, in your 20s, mid-20s?
I was close to 40. I guess I was somewhere in my upper 30s at that time, because I believe I was already healing people by 40. And I'm 72 now this year. And so it's been a bit of a haul. Now, I found myself in a class, and it was on metaphysics, the paranormal unknown. And it was a 10-week class, and it consisted of something different every week. One week it was angel cards and angels, and then it was tarot cards and dowsing rods and pendulums, aliens, anything people couldn't understand. But what happened was 3 weeks in, this is where I learned meditation. 3 weeks in, my hands started to burn, and I mean hot burn. And I didn't know it had anything to do with class. I came home and I remember looking
at my... Like, did they hurt or were they just like warm?
It was just very hot, very hot. So hot that I couldn't cool them down. I was uncomfortable hot. And as years went by, the whole body got like that. That was interesting because I thought I was going to set my pillows on fire. But
I know the feeling.
I'm pretty comfortable now. I'm pretty evened out. But I said to my husband, I don't know what's the matter with me. I said, is this menopause? I said, I thought you were supposed to have hot flashes, not hot hands. So the following week, my teacher at the time, she's passed since, her name was Holly. And she, one day, it was a rainy Monday morning, and she told me to move over on the couch because there was this woman in my peripheral vision, and she was on a folding chair, and she was twisting and turning and crossing. And she was distracting me, and I'm sure other people, but Holly said, move over, Pat. And so the woman sat down. I didn't know who she was. And it seems that she had had a car accident years before and a lot of soft tissue damage. And she was in discomfort. Rain can create that. Everybody knows this. So Holly said to me, Pat, put your hand on her leg. I looked at Holly like she had three heads. So she said, no, Pat, put your hand on her leg. Okay. So I put my hand on her thigh. And I had no idea what I was doing. I wasn't doing anything. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And 2 minutes later, she had no pain. So I left that class spinning. And I honestly don't know how I got home because my head was all over the place. Like, what just happened? Why me? What's this all about? I headed to the library, to the bookstore. I couldn't find anything in the library because they didn't have a New Age section at that time. And I didn't really know what to look up. Spiritual healing was what I was heading for. I did find a book in the local bookstore that was called, I can't remember right now. It's over there on the shelf, but it was really an amazing book. It was a small paperback book, and it just explained things to me as to how the energy was working and that I was channeling it and all of this. And I will tell you right now that my bottom line throughout my entire career has been faith. Everything is about faith to me, not about religion. It's about faith. I knew that I could not possibly do what was happening without some big guns working with me. I began to practice quietly on my siblings. They had no idea what I was doing. But what would happen is I would give them like a little neck massage because their shoulders were hurting or their neck was hurting. I would get the pain. They would be fine. Yeah. And it transferred to me.
Transferred. Mm-hmm.
And then my other sibling, she had a migraine one day and I was just, you know, they didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to make them feel better, give a little head massage, and I got the migraine. So I went home and I said to God, all right, listen, I am wide open to helping. I surrender. I want to serve, but I cannot walk around with people's pain.
Would it stay with you just in that moment or did it go with you?
No, it stayed with me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because you weren't, I guess, releasing it or you hadn't learned yet what to do.
I didn't have a clue. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a clue. Mm-hmm. So I never had a teacher. Everything was done. Holly was not a healer. I was the healer. And I didn't have really anybody to talk to about it.
So you were a pioneer in your field, for sure.
I was a pioneer for me, for sure. Yeah. And so I went back to the protection that Holly had taught us in class, and then I added to it. And I made it into something completely different, and it worked. I did not have a problem from that day forward. People still ask me, don't you get exhausted or don't you get drained? No, never. I never get drained. I'm kind of like, I call myself the Energizer Rabbit. And, you know, I go to bed at 1 o'clock, sometimes 2 o'clock, sometimes later than that. I get up, I start with clients. I don't require that kind of rest. I will tell you this. I say whoever, but two mediums came to see me over the years. I told you I operated on complete faith. So I never thought about it. I never thought about who was there. I just knew someone was there. And you could go, you could say God, you could say Jesus, you could say Mary, you could say all kinds of different things. But I didn't really know. And Holly once told me that I had a team around me that worked with my clients. So I accepted that, and that was enough. But these two mediums, two separate years, came in, one from out of state, one that I knew, and they each brought somebody with them to have a healing. One had a friend with cancer, another had a child with anxiety, and both of them watched the healing from the room, a different space in the room, and they both said the exact same words to me. They said, "Do you have any idea who you're working with?" And I said,
"Who is it?"
But I don't worry about it. They told me I had a huge team of archangels that were so big that they went out of the ceiling. And they said they stand around me. One woman told me she channeled archangels. And she said, "Gabriel was behind me." And she said, in her mind, she was like, "What are you doing here?" And she got like a funny look. And then the other woman told me the exact same words. They said the energy comes through them, out their hands and into my head. And then it comes out my hands and into the head of the person in front of me. And it made sense. It made perfect sense to me because I knew I couldn't make these things up. People were healing left and right of all manner of amazing things. So I say I'm in the miracle business now. I try to explain to people that not everybody gets healed. And I don't know who gets the miracles. I don't know the whys and wherefores. I know a lot of it has to do with life lessons. It has to do with what we agreed to before we came here as a soul. There's many different criteria for it. Sometimes somebody will come in and they'll have five things wrong with them and they'll leave with two. Don't know why. I don't ask questions. In the very beginning of my career, probably for the first 15 years, I told people they didn't have to come back. I said, just one time. This is not me. It's coming through me. I'm doing my job and so on and so forth. But I also recognized early on that it wasn't just about the hands and the energy, that my job was to sit down with a person, find out where their pain came from, where their hurt came from.
And the why.
And then teach them how to forgive it, to release it, to understand it, and to let it go. So that started a whole new phase of my life because first I was just touching and then I started counseling and teaching and that led to classes and the classes opened up and I began to meditate people and surprise, surprise, just like what happened to me, they began to open to their spiritual gifts and they would just talk after the meditation and they would tell me what they were feeling or seeing and listen. I don't know where things come from other than it's one of my gifts is to be able to discern how to help and teach people. I'm not a medium. I mean, I don't talk to dead people. I don't, but I can teach anybody to. So maybe I don't want to. I'm not quite sure. I like teaching. I like healing. My next part went into past life regressions. I taught myself. I'm self-taught in everything that I've done. And I taught myself how to put people under hypnosis by reading many books and writing my own scripts and combining my scripts with different people's scripts and until I made it work my way. And I do it to heal people. I do it to heal. I only want the lifetimes that are affecting them in this lifetime. Right. So that's what I go for. So again, I don't do it to play. Right. I don't do it for people's pleasure.
You're serious about it because this is not, it's your life work. And like you said, it sounds to me, which I've heard before over and over, the energy comes through you. It's not of you because it's coming from a higher place and you are a conduit and you're activating the energy that resides all around us, but also within each individual person that you're healing.
Absolutely. And you know, I try to teach my students that. I explain it all the time. Leave your ego at the curb. Do not come into my classroom with ego. I have to feel everybody first. I don't advertise that I teach. People have to see me before that because I need to know their energy. And I also have to catch them up to snuff with everybody else that's in the classroom. I have like 480 people on my class list. And they come and they go and you know, they don't have to come and they don't. You know, I might get 30, 40 people a week, a class. And I stopped teaching four times a week a long time ago because it after my husband passed, it was just more than I needed to do. And I took a 2-year break, and then they were all coming back and saying, please teach me, please teach me. So, okay, I'm going to camp out on your front lawn. I got nice threats, but that's what they were going to do. And I said, okay, I will do it once a month. And I put it out on Facebook. And next thing you know, I had 90 that were willing to come. I said, well, I'm not doing it once a month. I'll have to do it 3 times a month because I can only fit so many people in space. And I sold my house and I went into a hotel to start to teach. So the classes were able to get bigger.
Oh, that's a really cool idea. So you did that so that more people could come and be there. That's amazing.
It worked great. So it was more like 40 people a class, 3 classes a month, and rotation, constant rotation. But I never lose my people, which is so humbling to me because they always come back. I mean, they'll come back from 18 years ago and they'll pop into class and from different states. I worked for a while in the tri-state area, but then it started to get bigger and people were driving from crazy distances and staying overnight in the hotel and trying to catch more than one class. And I had a client flew in from Kenya once, and I talk about
shocked.
I'm like, nobody has to fly here. We could just do Skype at that time. That's what we were doing.
Yeah. But sometimes that in person really makes a difference, you know? For sure. So I want to go back to the angels. So I think it's really cool because I call them my team too, and really anybody's team. Like I feel like each of us have a team around us that help 100%. Us, and that could be archangels or ascended masters. And I'm curious, have you ever seen them? Like, obviously you feel them, but have you seen them? Okay,
no,
me either. I haven't seen.
I have never seen that. I see energy, but not when I'm healing. My eyes are closed. But I know we all see through our third eye and so on and so forth. But I have never. What happens is I feel such strong energy different with every person that sits down in front of me. Sometimes I stand behind them with my hands over their head, and sometimes my body is pulled way in. Sometimes they get very rocky. Sometimes they get pushed way back. Sometimes I move from side to side, almost like a pendulum. Mm-hmm. I've done some very bizarre things when no one else is in the room.
I believe it.
I don't know what they do and why, but I do not question. Sometimes I feel like my energy merges with the person and I don't know the difference between the two of us, but it all depends on, I'm going to say, the spiritual evolution of that person. And they all see something different. They are the ones that have the experience. They see things, they feel things, they have messages, they get physical pain, or they get hysterical laughing or hysterical crying. It's always different. And I tell them, if you do come back to me more than once, which mostly I just see people that are terminal more than once, because I have a lot of backpedaling to do in those cases and really to teach them. And sometimes I'm there to help them cross. Mm-hmm. And my job is to just educate them on the other side and take away their fear.
What a beautiful gift.
If that's my job, then that's my job. It happened like that first time out, first
really?
Client.
Wow.
31 years old with a very rare leukemia, and he was supposed to have a stem cell transplant, and he got pneumonia and a fungus in his lungs. And I got pulled in because it was my sister's neighbor's brother. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful connection that we had. And he felt my energy, and he actually felt no fear when I was there. He said, as long as your hand is on my leg, I feel no fear. He passed. He only had like 2 weeks to live. I saw him twice. I did healings from home as well. And then I had a reading with John Edwards. He had just kind of knew off the block. He was still in his loft at home. And this young man, Larry, came right through. And he told him that he was not afraid. He heard my voice. He saw 3 angels, by the way, at the foot of his bed. The nurse friend that was sitting with him said there were 3 angels at the foot of his bed, and he heard my voice. I wasn't there, but I was talking about him from my job on the phone with my teacher at that very moment. And it was just amazing. And I went to his funeral. It was the most magnificent triple rainbow I had ever seen in my life. And it actually led me right to the funeral pall. It was a rainy day. I didn't know where I was going. And I followed the rainbow And when I got there, the rainbow was over the building and all the people were standing out in the parking lot looking at the rainbow. Uh-huh. So he was a tremendous piece. I actually have him a section for him in my next book if I ever get to it. But it was an amazing moment. And it made me understand that I have two purposes and that mm-hmm. it is sometimes just to make people comfortable and take them from fear and get them where they have to go.
What do you think? That's such a beautiful story. And it's amazing to just hear it. What do you think about what happens to us when we go to the other side? Because we are just energy and we are in our physical body, but it's just a change. It's a suit. It's we're experiencing.
Well, it is a change. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You change your suit. Well, I'll tell you, I have been teaching for quite some time now. And a woman wrote a book, Dr. Mary C. Neal, To Heaven and Back. And I saw her when Teresa Caputo had just started on television on her show. I was watching an interview with Katie Couric, and I was waiting for Teresa to come on, but this woman came on, Dr. Mary C. Neal. And I was so enthralled by her story of how she died and came back and what her experience was. She only had a few minute interview. And the next night in class, somebody walked in with a book and handed it to me. And when I read that book, everything I teach was in that book. And because I do past life regressions and I take people to the other side, I have all this material on what goes on. And it's like, it's an amazing place. We never stop learning and we never stop working, but we work without pain. We're without hunger. We're without fear. It's just pure love and light. And and that's what I told my husband when he was passing. I said, look for your favorite vacation. I said, look for your favorite vacation, the most amazing place you've been on. And that's what you're going to find. And if people have so much fear or darkness in their life and they think of hellfire and damnation, that's what they're going to get too. I tell people, watch What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams from way back, because I don't think I understood fully the first time I looked at it, but I certainly saw all the correlations in the book as to the darkness and the light. It's amazing. So you have to look at that. I also have had some peculiar experiences, and I have talked about them before. I kept it quiet for a while. When I started meditating originally in Holly's class, my head always went backwards. And this happens to a lot of people that meditate. But my head would be pushed all the way back, painfully so, because I couldn't bring it back up. It felt like it was a heavy, heavy weight or an anvil on me, and it was way back. And then over time, as I was teaching people and doing group healings and things, my arms would go out unexpectedly like angel wings, and I cannot control them. When it happens, they go all the way out. My chest comes out. My head goes back, and sometimes I'm up on my high toes, and it can be really uncomfortable. But nobody ever saw it because everybody's eyes were closed. And I could be on a stage and nobody's eyes are open because I say, close your eyes. And I got 100 people and I'm walking out doing healings and they don't see my arms out and my head back. And I'm walking at this point in time. I have to be careful when I go up and downstairs, but I'm cognizant of what's going on in the room, yet I'm someplace else. So interestingly enough, and you will look at this after I tell you, because it is a phenomenon. Before COVID, about a year and a half before COVID, I was in class and I was telling the students about something that they should all go and see, this amazing paranormal picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus where people's loved ones show up in the picture. And it's been going on for close to 50 years. The woman who lost her son brings people in. And it's just beautiful. So I was telling them, you have to call on this date because you only have one day to call and she books for the whole year. Okay. So I was explaining. I had some new students. They said, well, what is this? And I said, well, Jesus's face changes. You could feel his heartbeat, his mouth moves, and all this stuff. You can see your loved ones. And they said, what do you mean his face changes? And I said, well, it's like face changing. And when I was in Holly's class and when I taught earlier, we used to do face changing exercises where you focus on somebody's third eye or in the center of their forehead, and maybe you can see their aura. But sometimes the face changes. And this is how it was. It was kind of like Michael Jackson's video.
All the different, the yeah. Just,
exactly. So that's what Jesus, that's what happens when you look at it. So they said, oh, can we do it? And I said, well, we only have 20 minutes left of class. And I said, I can't stand everybody up against the wall. I said, I'll sit here in my chair and you guys all gather in. And I think that night there was about 32 people and they all pulled in. I said, I'll close my eyes and just see what you see. Call names out, see whatever. It doesn't matter. So I closed my hands into a fist and I put it underneath my chest there. And I just closed my eyes and I said, okay, go for it. So soften your eyes, see what you see. And they started calling things out. Oh, you've got, your face is younger. You got long red hair. It's curly. You're bald. You got a Fu Manchu. You got a beard. I mean, I was all kinds of things. And it was exactly what I wanted them to see. It was perfect. And my thoughts on that, by the way, is that they are previous lifetimes.
I was going to ask, were they previous lifetimes?
Yes, mm-hmm. I believe they're previous lifetimes. And I know I have lived many, but that's what I think. Mm-hmm. Can I prove it? No. That's what I think. And I also tell my students, I don't know everything. I'm learning. I still learn. I'm going to learn on the other side.
But your truth is your truth. So if that's the message you're getting, then that's what you believe, right? Yeah.
Straight up. So this is what happens. And I'm going to say a bad word.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
So all of a sudden, my fingers start to pull out. You know, like when you stick your fingers in those Indian things. And get them out. Well, all my fingers are pulling and they're pulling and I don't want them to open because everybody's looking at me and I do not want them to open. And I cannot. And they're pulling so hard. And then finally they just flew wide open and my head went back and my chest came out. Now I have to explain.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to explain. Okay. Sometimes this happens when I'm around a lot of energy or I'm in a meditative state and everybody got silent. And then it started all through the group. It was, oh my God, holy shit. Oh my God, holy shit. Oh my God, holy shit. I'm like, what? I can't open my eyes either. Yeah. Because once I'm in, I'm in. It doesn't end till they're ready to end it. And when it does end, my arms snap back like a rubber band over my shoulders. And so I said, what's the matter? What's going on? And they told me that outside of my back and filled the entire wall were angel wings.
Oh, I just got chills.
You're going to see it because I put a little bit of it on Instagram, but not that one because that one we didn't get. Mm-hmm. And they all wrote to me. They wrote me beautiful renditions of what they saw. And they're all intuitive people. So some of them were seeing other things. I only see the shadow. You know, once I started letting my siblings, because two of my siblings had worked for me for a while. One of them is my assistant. And she said, I wanted to get my camera, but I was afraid I was going to miss something. But they, some saw like purple smoke coming out of my mouth. Others saw an eagle coming out of my chest. Others saw rainbows of colors and all sorts of stuff was happening. But the feathers, they said, were perfect. And they went to the floor and they took up the wall. And if I moved to the left, they moved to the right. So they were astounded. And I wish I had it on film, but I don't. So after that, I decided I was going to try this again in the next class. But this time I was just going to stand up and put on the meditative music when I always meditate them before we go into practice. And as soon as the music starts, now I just go right into full mode. But now I'm standing. So all sorts of shadows began to develop on the wall. Amazing shadows, different types of wings, but not always wings. Sometimes I developed many arms, sometimes three, four, even five arms that would come out of my sides. People saw me with a red stone in my head. They saw my hair turn black and come down in points and then have actual feathers on my arms like Isis. They would send me pictures and say, this is what I saw. This is Shiva. You know, they would send me all these amazing things. So I'm like, okay, what is this all about? I don't know. All right. So now time goes by. Now, it all stopped right before COVID because I haven't been in the hotel. Now, it changed. Over time, it began, the shadows began to come up from the baseboard of the room. Now, I want to put out that when I go to the hotel, there are four rooms, and I never know. Every single night when I come back or every month, the room has changed, and I don't know what room I'm going to go in. So there was no possibility of knowing where I was going to be or doing something funky. And listen, so now it started to come up from the floor And all my students watched as a mountain would form, and they would come up and they'd come up, and then they would attach to my arms. And eventually they became like gigantic archangel wings, very different than the original angel wings.
What did the archangel wings look like that would be different?
Okay, that would be different. They're much bigger. Well, figure my arms are all the way out, and I'm short, so I don't have very long arms. But my arms are all the way out, and when they come from the floor, they come up like a black shadow, and they come up and they attach in points to my arms and my hands. But then as this mass is coming up from the floor, all of a sudden you start to see the points at the bottom where they're going to finish. And then they fill out to these just like amazing wings. Very different. Okay. I have pictures of feathers coming out from between my legs. I have probably, you know, several hundred pictures at this point. But what I'm going to do, I can tell you that I put four things up on Instagram. That's all I put up because I wanted to see what people felt like. When I first put this one up.
Oh, I see.
You could see? All right. One side is lighter than the other, but there's a robe that goes all the way to the floor. And that robe is always with me. Way down the road, I started to put up a little bit of what comes up out of the floor, how it starts.
I see. So it's like light. So for people that can't see, and I will share this later, it's like light, and it's light energy and dark energy that's around her up against a wall. So you can kind of see the transformation that's happening. That's beautiful.
Now that you can only see so much in the screen, it goes much further out on both sides. So now I'm going to show you something. It's a 19 second video, and anybody can see it on my Instagram page, but it's going to shock you a little bit.
Okay.
And this happened one day, and now I showed you all the pictures that have equal amounts on both sides. Okay. This one, it does not. And what you're going to see is it's going to come up and it's going to attach to my arm. And the second it attaches to my arm, I want you to pay very close attention. Okay. And you'll see my arms are moving down a little bit. The one side, all of a sudden, it almost looks like a hand touches me on the right arm. And watch the other side.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. It's almost too like they're holding you up, but then pulling you down.
Now, if you look at it again, if you look at it again, think of Jesus standing behind me. Okay. And think of it as robe sleeves. And so the right hand touches me and the other comes
out.
Well,
that was the first thing that I thought. Honestly, it felt to me like Jesus energy. I don't see it. Like, it's not like I see him there, but with the energy that's like kind of pulling and lifting you up at the same time. That's so amazing.
It is. Listen, I don't even have words for it. I asked my students to intuit. I said, see what you think. I mean, some of them cried. I've done this so many times and the room fills up with fog. And I'm doing a healing. When my arms are out, I'm doing a healing on everybody on this planet, in my classroom, the sick. I go through all these things in my head because I can, the energy is just pouring from my hands and from my heart. So it just pushes out. So they feel it. Some of them heal immediately in the classroom. Some of them, I don't even know what to say. I think what we've come up with, that it's about faith. This all started before COVID. It all started before the political unrest and all of this stuff. And I feel like it's something people can not explain and will see and be and know that there's something more.
I think that we experienced a lot, especially as light workers or people that even were, and you don't have to be a light worker, and I'm using air quotes here, to be a massive player in the field. Like, you could be somebody that just started to dabble in it or try and understand it. And we all were collectively feeling that something big was coming up. We just didn't have any clue necessarily what that was going to be and how it was going to kind of throw us all on our butts, for the last year and a half. And it's almost like they were preparing not just us as light workers or healers, but letting people have, as you mentioned, this moment of faith and something to hang on to as we were entering this time of turmoil. And now that we're hopefully, I feel like we're not quite there, but we're on the brink of passing through it. And that hopefully that's led not just people through the light, but knowing that there is that hope. I do want to, in our time left, I want to be mindful because you mentioned at the very beginning, we have minimal time to go and quickly.
Listen, I could talk to you all day.
Oh, no, I know. I have so many more questions. But for the purpose of your book is The Gifts Beneath Anxiety. As a healer, especially like I have experienced anxiety, I don't know if you have as well, but what prompted you to write the book and what kind of things can people do in our, you know, the time that we have left to talk about what those tools are? Because I think it's huge, especially the last 2 years, right?
I'm going to give them a tool mm-hmm. that they can use
awesome.
Every day. Now, I'm not the psychic police. I'm not going to be chasing them around to see if they're doing it. If they do it, their anxiety will stop.
Okay,
but it has to be done every day. And the reason I wrote the book is because I've been healing people of anxiety all these years, but it wasn't until around Teresa Caputo's beginning, she had such terrible anxiety. And I took her one day to a beauty parlor with another psychic, and they were supposed to read. It was a job another medium had. And she gave it to me and said, I really don't have time for that anymore. So do you have couple of people you can use? I said, absolutely. And I had to force Teresa there because she was a nervous wreck and filled with anxiety. And her big nails went right into my arm on the parkway. And I had to pull off. I said, relax, it's going to be fine.
And real quick, sorry, I just want to say for people that may not know Teresa Caputo, she's a big time medium. She had a TV show for a while. And so Pat had, you know, helped guide her and taught her a lot of her practices. So just wanted to interject for people that may not know who she is.
She's the Long Island medium, and she is still doing television, actually. She's been on the air for now almost 12 years. But she's really travels all around the country and does live experience shows. But Teresa's anxiety was so bad, and she did not want me to match her up with any men. And there was a beauty parlor. I said, how many men are going to be in the beauty parlor? And she said, just don't give me any men. Don't give me any men. Okay, all right, fine. But what happened was two men did come in at different times, and the other medium had already sat down with somebody, and I didn't have a choice. They were the next one in line, and she ended up with both men. And it was an amazing experience for her. And when she came outside at the end, she put her hand on my arm, this time without the nails. She put her hand on my arm, and she just said, I feel whole for the first time in my life. And that's when it all clicked. Mm. It all clicked that the anxiety was related to the gifts of, I'm going to say mediumship. It isn't always. Sometimes it has a lot to do with healing, but mediumship is a big component. Now, I began to recognize that I went back and I started to look at the different people that I had and my students in my class. And I originally had them cover with an imaginary WWE belt on their solar plexus, okay? Now, it cannot be on the waist. It has to be on the solar plexus right below the rib cage, the breast. And I did it on a little boy who was having awful experiences. He was 9 years old, and I was talking to his mom, not him, on the phone. And she said, oh, he's coming to the phone. Can you tell him that? Now, I was talking about chakras. There was no way I could teach him all that in a few minutes, but nor did I want to. So I asked my guides, give me something, and boom, that WWE belt popped in. So that's what I gave him, and it worked instantly. And I used that for a while. But in 2012, it seemed like everybody that was coming in, their energies, their emotions were all over the place. So I decided to upgrade. Their hearts needed to be covered as well. So what I do is it's called surround ground shield. And I teach people to put a bubble of light around their body filled with God's white light and protection. It's done by thought. Thoughts become things. You do not have to see it or feel it. Then I have them send three cords, one from the bottom of each foot, and one from their tailbone, straight through the floor, through the bubble, all the way down into the center of Mother Earth, and then become roots and lock them in tight like the roots of a big old tree. Because listen, we are spiritual beings living a human experience. We know this, but we must be connected to the earth. And most people use two cords or two roots. I use three because as a healer, your tailbone, that's your root chakra, that's your life force energy. And I work with death and dying. So I need those to be intact because once severed, it's over. So it's very important for me to have three. And then the last piece, the part that stops the anxiety, is the shiny metal vest of armor. So it's much like an archangel would wear or a gladiator. There's no collar, no sleeves. It's not heavy. It's not cumbersome. It fits everyone perfectly because it was made for them. And it covers the heart, the lungs, the solar plexus, and the abdomen. So when you think about it, there's also a filter that runs down the front of my vest, the way that I explain it. And that filter keeps all the toxins away that you have accumulated throughout your lifetime from sucking other people's energy in. We're like sponges. Empaths are sponges. So they're pulling it in and pulling it in, and they don't realize it since the day they opened their eyes. So people with digestive issues, people with autoimmune disease can all be healed by this vest. So it's surround ground shield. I can't make it any easier for people.
I've heard that. You came up with that. You invented it.
Yes, I did. I did.
I've heard it so many times, even on the show, where people are like, surround ground shield. And I was like, I think that's Pat Longo. So you've shared something with the world that like we all use and go to. I love that.
I am trying. I work in 45 countries right now. 45 countries. I have students from all over the world in my online classes. That's what COVID did for me. COVID gave me an online venue that I didn't have.
It really opened up the doors in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it really did. And I will never change it. As much as my students would like to meet in person again, and I will get back to that. Maybe I'll do it once a month. But I can't close this door now. I have people from Taiwan, from Singapore, from Australia, from Finland, from everywhere, Alaska. I mean, they're from all over. And I love it. And I put them together in practice venues, and they all practice with each other, and they heal, and they teach. And some of them will become teachers, and some of them mediums, and some of them just facilitators. Like you said before, you don't have to put a shingle over your head and be this, this, or this. All we have to do is help people. We have to help people. We have to serve. We agreed to serve
absolutely
before we came here.
Absolutely.
And now we must do so.
That's amazing. Well, before we're done, I know the answer, but I want to ask it for the listeners. Why anxiety? Why do people feel the anxiety when, you know,
Good question. Good question. Because the anxiety is when spirit gets too close. All right. So think about it for a minute. Many people fold their arms. Okay. They always fold their arms.
I'm kind of folding my arms right now because I was like waiting for the answer. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But you cover your solar plexus, which is what needs to be covered. Many people put a child on their lap, a pet, a big sweatshirt. They lift their knees up. They put their arms up, or they put a pillow in front of them when they're sitting with a group of people, family, friends, a relaxed setting. But you can't walk around like that. Okay. But you need to cover this area. It's very important. And this is where it all comes in. It's where fear comes in. It's where anxiety comes in. It's also the seat of your intuition. It's really the strongest point, your sense of feel, that empathic feeling. So what happens is, all right, I'm going to do
fast. I'm not rushing you. I want to be respectful of your time. So take your time, okay.
It's Sunday afternoon. I'm fed. I'm happy. Not to worry. Food is very important to me. Okay. So now you and I, two people in a room. Okay. We're having a conversation. And with us, we have at the very least, one spiritual guide. Everyone received a guide when they were conceived. Okay. It's not somebody they knew in life unless they passed and then they came back and somehow they knew them. But usually it's from another lifetime. So now you have a guide. So you and me now, instead of two, we're four. Okay. So now we have a team of angels. So let's say everyone has two. That's kind of like your universal team. So you've got two, I've got two. Now we're eight. Now, I have many loved ones on the other side, but I'm just going to take two for the sake of numbers, and I'm going to give you two for the sake of numbers, and we are now 12. You and me, 12 energies in a room. They're all good. They love you. Mine love me. They are here to help you serve and to look over you and protect you and so on and so forth. All right, so now, take that number, because you have five, so you're six all on your own. Take that number to the movie theater and multiply. And imagine how much energy is in that movie theater when you walk in, not to mention the mall at Christmas time, a concert, a city street, okay? energy is around us all the time. A high school hallway. Listen, my biggest, the kids with that are going through puberty, puberty is when spirituality rises. And I can prove that too. And it's amazing because that's when kids begin to get anxious, really anxious, maybe panic attacks, maybe they become depressed, maybe they become withdrawn or even become the class clown, because the class clown insulates themselves in a bubble. And it doesn't matter if people laugh with them or at them, they feel a little bit more comfortable, but they are not comfortable in their own skin. This is when cutting takes place. It's when suicide attempts take place and sometimes suicide completions, unfortunately. But it's middle school and high school. It's all during puberty time. That's when things get really tough. Now, I'm going to go back to that group of spirit. And I'm going to say to you that when you are openly gifted and spirit and you're not clear on it and you don't understand it, spirit, and you don't even know you're openly gifted. That's the funny part, because everybody that comes in here, they think they're crazy. They have no idea until I start talking to them. And then, oh my God, it all makes sense. And next thing you know, I've got another healer. I mean, this is what happens. So it's not how I intended it to be. Just so you know, everything was about healing and teaching balance.
I don't think anything's ever what we intend it to be in a lot of ways.
No, it just took on a life of its own. And then I became like the madam of mediums. I can't explain it. But so all this energy is pressing on you. And it's coming really close, because they know you could either see them, hear them, or feel them. And, you know, we bring home hitchhikers. We have experiences in our houses. We don't know why. We're starting having panic attacks. We're seeing things from our periphery. People are calling our names in the morning. All these things are happening. And nobody understands it, because they think they're crazy. And a lot of them end up in psych wards. And then they become medicated. That's the worst thing you could do, because it's like leaving your front door open in a really bad neighborhood.
Well, yeah, I was, you know, medicated for a while. I didn't go to psych ward, but I was, you know, depression medication, anxiety medication for a really long time, until I was like, I'm not dealing with the gifts or the abilities. And I think that's important. I'm not saying that people shouldn't take it. I'm just, you know, there are things that happen that if you're not diving in deep and you're not understanding that there might be other tools for you to also use, then that can be something that,
Well, it's interesting, because listen, many people are very fear-based, and there are people that need medication. I have not come across a tremendous amount. Usually, if I do feel that way, I will make sure that they find, and I usually send them to a therapist that's spiritual, because they need more. They need something else. And the ADHDs, the OCDs, the ODDs, all of these children are very sensitive, super sensitive. The children with Asperger's, the autistic children, it's like nails on a chalkboard to them.
And they don't know how to deal. And we don't know how to share or help them deal in a lot of ways. And so we are just that's amazing.
I am working on that. I work with a lot of people that teach autistic children. A lot of autistic children come to see me. And I explain that whoever invented the hugging vest, I don't know who that was, but they came up with a tool that probably made the children feel like they were being hugged, because they didn't like to be touched. But they didn't know what they were doing was covering their solar plexus, which is making them comfortable.
It's like the weighted blankets.
It's like the weighted blankets came out after that. And one more thing, the thunder vest or the thunder belt for pets. And I had a 170-pound English Mastiff, and the 4th of July fireworks and thunderstorms, she was like a horse. She would try to get under the baseboard, because she was so frightened. One day we found her in the bathtub on a 4th of July. So if I had known about this thunder vest, or knew what I knew now, then...
Well, what's amazing what you shared is that that visualization that you walked us through, and I'll make sure that I put that too in the show notes, is you're visually doing that. And you may think, well, visually, what difference does that make? But you're also energetically infusing that into your being. And so you don't necessarily need the weighted blanket, the, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't replace personal hugs if you can, hugging yourself, but like, yeah, exactly. But those are things, I think that that's just such a great way to share with people things that they can do. And thank you also for explaining the anxiety, because a lot, I get that question a lot, and I haven't seen it a lot too, is, well, I have this anxiety, what do I do with it? And there are multiple tools, but that's a way that, again, you can visualize it and you can set that intention, surround ground, and just also, and feel. Yes, and then just
feel this mm-hmm, a big
heal,
part.
Yes, and
that.
Then feel it too. So heal and feel. Well, so Pat, how would you like people to get in touch with you if they want to reach out? I will also include all this information on the website and in the show notes.
Okay. My email is patlongo1111@gmail.com. My website is patlongo.net. And I would say the email is the best way, because my assistant works on it all day long. And they just come in and in and in and in and in. And I leave all that to her. I try not to get involved if I can help it, because it sometimes is overwhelming, but it works. It gets, the job gets done and people get in. And I don't want people to ever think that it's going to take so long, because when somebody's supposed to be here, they get here. It's interesting, because a cancellation will come mm-hmm. up and the person will say, oh my God, it's my birthday. And, you know, or, oh my God, I needed this so bad. And I know it's always the person that's supposed to be here. And everybody else gets rescheduled. And
our angels are our best assistants.
That's right. That's right. And I love it. And my sister, who is my assistant, Eileen, she's a healer too. She doesn't claim it yet. But when I see her aura, she's like the Incredible. She's so green. She's neon green, like the Incredible Hulk. And I have a sister that's a medium as well that I trained, who is amazing. I have my granddaughter's a medium. She sees three-dimensional dead people. My niece is a medium, another grandniece, another grandnephew, my nephew, another grandnephew. I mean, it's amazing. People just don't know that they have this inside of them. They don't know how to open up to hear. We all hear. We all hear every day. We just don't understand it. And that's what I do. That's what I do, and I'll probably be doing it probably, hopefully, for the next 20 some odd years. We'll
yes,
see.
You will. And thank you again for not only sharing your story, but sharing your gifts. And I would love to connect with you at another time and just see how things are going. And I will also share those videos and those photos too. So
that would be great. I would love it too. It was such a pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.